Hey, welcome back to our last episode of Tools Day for 2017. I don't have my ukulele because I am traveling for the holidays, so we're going to show you a little throwback song from December 2015 that Chris and I did together, a duet, if you will. It's called The State of Dev Life. Still very, very relevant, so please enjoy this in lieu of our traditional intros.
Do you want to pull up the chords? Nope. We're good to go.
What happened?
Do you want to pop the chords?
Nah.
All right. We'll keep all this.
Another pull request. I'm forking all your code. Please give me two thumbs up. I copied someone's node. And make the best of these tools and just don't ask why. React, Ember, Backbone, Angular, D3, and Hi. What's next is unpredictable, but in the end it's still not right. I hope you still have time for a life. So take your audits of performance and speed index. You think you'll hit 1K, but here's an advertisement. Tattoos of IE8 and dead browsers in mind. They still need supporting, apparently, but why? What's next is unpredictable, but in the end it's still not right. I hope you have the time of
your... Oh god, I messed up!
Shit. Where'd you mess up?
The end! Let's record again.
Okay. Welcome back to Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about our favorite tools.
It's too long for me to say
2017. We're never good at saying this thing at the same time. It's fine. Okay, so I guess our 2017 favorites, things that were new to us in 2017 or new in 2017. But before we begin with our favorites, and just we're going to go quickly through all of the tools that we love from this year, we have a few announcements. So the first one is about Tools Day and the future of Tools Day. So
it's next a good year,
okay, probably by the time you hear this, we are going to be joining the Spec FM network, which is exciting because that means that we could just focus on doing our podcast and they're going to focus on all the details for us. It's going to be a great network of a lot of really great technical podcasts. Check it out. Spec FM will have the links in our show notes. There's some other great shows in there that I've listened to, been a part of. Like, we're super stoked to join the Spec network. So yeah, check out Spec. The next announcement comes from either Chris or I.
I mean, I already did mine last episode, kind of. I have swapped jobs. I'm no longer at IBM. I am now a UI engineer over at Netflix. And so I just moved to the Bay Area.
That's a really big deal.
It's a great time. It's a great environment. There's so many smart people here that I feel like I'm constantly learning. So good times. And Yuna.
Yeah, so I have also a job change announcement for you all. I'm going to be starting very shortly, in a couple days, at Bustle Digital Group as the new director of product design. So taking a little bit of a turn from UI engineering, but still in the same vein, I'm going to be appointing the CTO, working with the engineering team. So I haven't started yet, but I'm super, super excited for that opportunity. It's going to be a little bit of a change, so I'm excited for the growth and the learning opportunities there. And the company's growing, so I'm super stoked to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I'll bring us give us a new perspective on our tooling and our fun toxins. You know, you'll be a director. And I'm already doing a bunch of weird things, so it'll be a fun time next year.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like the start is both of us just kind of working together and building things at IBM for Bluemix, and now you're at Netflix, and I'm going to be at Bustle Digital Group. And we've had all this change in between, so it's really cool to see this podcast has been a cornerstone thing that's continued over that time. It's like over two years old now. So yep. We're going to keep going strong in 2018. So thank you all for listening.
All right. Okay. So our favorite tools of the year or applications or stuff, I guess.
Anything.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. All right. So I'm going to start out with something that is new this year and something that I really, really like. It's Visual Studio Code's custom workspaces. So we talked about this previously in an episode. I'm not exactly sure which one. I also wrote a blog post about this so you can see it. Since I wrote the blog post, the tooling has gotten a lot better because it's been out of beta. When I wrote the post, it was in beta. But basically what VS Code custom workspaces allow you to do is create different visual workspaces for different projects. So you can apply different plugins to them if you want different syntax, like editing or
themes,
helpers. Yeah, anything. Themes is a really big one because I like to switch it up. Like, I'm writing a book. As you all know, it's been going on for a while. And so I have a theme for the book because I'm writing it in Markdown where I have bigger text. It's like a white on gray theme called Gray Matter. And then I have a work theme for DigitalOcean so I can kind of like be in a cognitive mindset of work code. And then have a separate theme for my other side projects and like just a default theme. So I found it really nice as like a little cognitive indicator of the project I'm working on. So yeah, I really enjoyed VS Code custom workspaces in 2017.
VS Code in general, 2017 has been fantastic.
Yeah, we've been all about it.
It's just like one of those things where I swapped to it. I'm like, well, I remember I was talking about this back in 2015 or 2016. I kept on trying to pitch it to people, and it kind of was it was iffy back then. But now it's like, hey, it's great.
Yeah, right. I will say the one thing about VS Code really quickly is the search is a lot slower for some reason than Atom for me,
really?
And only in large code bases. So the only place that I found this to be a problem is the code base of Cloud at DigitalOcean. And I cannot search in that code base. It's so slow. So I switched to Atom to search and that's it. But just for that, it's really bizarre. It takes up a lot of system resources is why.
Okay.
Other than that, all right. Awesome code.
My first thing that I loved in 2017, not in order, but is this component called Downshift. It's a React component that lets you build ARIA compliant React autocomplete drop down select combo box components. And if you've ever built a component library or you're trying to style select boxes or combo boxes, you know that it's such a pain to do.
Amen.
And if you want to make it, you know, ARIA compliant, it's even more of a pain. And it takes so much time and effort and pain. But Ken Dodds released this thing called Downshift. And it's basically a React component that has a render prop, which passes it on an API. But essentially does all the hard work and heavy lifting of creating a accessible select box or combo box or whatever, and all you have to do is style it and manage the state. And it's one of those things where I've used it a bunch because I've had to build a combo box twice now in the last, you know, 4 months for whatever reason, at once at IBM and once at Netflix. And it's done a bunch of things for me. One, it's taught me a bunch about React components. The way he's written Downshift exposes all the API. There's a thing called a render prop, and it's just a pattern that I hadn't really dealt with much before. And so now that I've seen it, I tend to write all my code like Downshift writes its code. So one, it's a great component, and two, it's a well-crafted component that you can learn a bunch from. So that's my first fun tech tool.
Nice. Okay. Thanks, yeah. Kent. We'll link to it in the show notes. That sounds super useful because I know that styling dropdowns is like the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst.
So speaking of styling, my second favorite, again, no order here, thing from 2017 is, I think, an absolute game changer in terms of styling websites, and that is CSS Grid. Holy expletive.
Wow, like, you actually censored yourself this time.
I did. you don't have to edit this. Nice. So CSS Grid allows you to just write and it appears the way you expect. I really like using named template areas in CSS Grid because you can just lay out your entire application or your entire component within the application and apply those named areas per element within it, and it just arranges like you would expect. can rearrange with anything, different media queries with JavaScript interjected in there. It allows for vertical grid as well as horizontal grid. It is incredible. If you haven't played with CSS Grid yet, please do. It'll make you love styling layouts again.
It's mind-blowingly good. I have spent a lot of time with CSS Grid in the last month and a half because where I work at Netflix, we're Chrome only. It's an internal application. And so I'm like, oh, I can do whatever I want. And CSS Grid is just, oh, it's mind-blowing. Everything is so easy now. It used to be so hard.
It might be my favorite thing.
All right. Agreed 10,000%. All right. My next one is also about styling, and it's Stylus, which is my new favorite free processor.
We're going to do an episode on that.
we'll do a big round on it. But my team uses Stylus, and so I was like, oh, God, Stylus, who uses this junk? Where's my SaaS? And then I was forced to use it, so I started using it. And I was like, wow, this actually isn't that bad. And then, wow, actually, I like this more than SaaS. And so it has a couple really cool things that you can check out. A lot of it is to do with structuring how I like to structure large applications. And so even in my SaaS, I like to structure dependencies like JavaScript, where every SaaS file requires everything it needs. And so hypothetically, you could take that component and move it wherever else it wants to go, and everything should be fine. In SaaS, this is kind of hard because there's no like require statement that says, hey, SaaS compiler, only bring this in once. Instead, it just brings it in many, many times. There are a couple hacks around it. Some really smart guy made this SAS mix-in called import once, and it's like a map, and it does it for you. But it's kind of a hack. In SAS, it's just built in. It's called at require. And it's just like, it just works, and it's wonderful. And it's like, wow, okay. And really, one of my biggest complaints about Stylus was that I, as a human being, like punctuation. And so when I first see Stylus, I always see it without the brackets, without the semicolons. It turns out all that's just optional. You can actually put in brackets, semicolons just fine. And so, I keep on being surprised at Stylus' stuff. It's basically SAS plus some things that TJ Holowick was like, I wish SAS did this as well. And TJ wrote Express and Koa, and it's really nifty.
Right. You're a big fan of his work, so I am too. Thank you for everything you've done, TJ. You're great. Okay, so my next favorite thing is going to be bringing it back out of like the tech tools world and sort of talking about life tools. This year, I got really into personal finance and also cryptocurrency. Like somehow before it got really crazy in the past couple months, I got in. Woo! So I've been like one of those people that's like, oh, I know crypto now. So I've got some Bitcoin and now the most like qualified financial advisor I know. Like that's me. I have that mindset. But Coinbase is a really great app. I really like it because it is just a great UI. They have some issues currently with overloading their servers by people. So it is one of my favorites from 2017. I don't know if I'd recommend it like right this minute and the second because it's kind of overloaded, but it's a great app. So I just really like the UI of it. And also Robinhood. Robinhood is an application for individual stock purchasing and trading. It has no fees, which is really cool. And also the UI of this app is really well done. I like it more than Coinbase even. And it's great. With Robinhood, I'm going to put my code in here. I'm not trying to like get anything.
I'm not trying, but if it works.
If you want to do it. So you get free stocks, which is fun. Like you get like a stock that's probably worth like $5. It's just like whatever. It's like a little like lottery thing. But you don't have to like theoretically buy any stocks. You just have to put your information. So you can just get free stocks and like start playing with them. I think it's really fun. So I use these two. I also use Wealthfront for my index funds. I just kind of like learned a lot about personal finance this year. So that was a big part of things that were new for me in 2017.
That's great. I need to do all that as well. I haven't done any of it yet, which I'm like, I should probably get on that Robinhood.
Get your life together.
Get my life together. Speaking of getting my life together, I have started bullet journaling. and I didn't realize how much I like using pen and paper to like document my ideas and thoughts. Yuna has this shocked face on her, and her right now, and it's like,
okay, I can't believe that you brought this up and not me. Like, whoa.
It's not, I don't do anything fancy. I don't have any fancy spreads or anything. It's just kind of like, this is my list of stuff, and here's my, you know, it's on this page, and here are my thoughts about this something, and I have a monthly tracker for a couple of things. I've started like sketching out like UI components and API patterns, and basically anything I do in work, I do it, I'll sketch it out in pen and paper first, really pencil and paper first, and I found that I can process my thoughts so much better than taking notes on a computer. Most of the time prior to this, I would take notes in Google Keep, which is a great application, but it wouldn't really help me process what I was thinking. And so swapping to, you know, a notebook has been great. I got this amazing notebook from this company called Studio Neat. They sell this thing called a panel book. And it's like essentially a gigantic notebook lengthwise. It's
like a panoramic.
Like a panoramic. And it's got this great dot grid. And it's just it's thick enough that my ink doesn't go through the paper. And it's just, it's kind of wonderful for this kind of like thought dump thing I've been doing. So, highly recommend even simple bullet journaling. I've seen some of the unit spreads and they're like, oh, wow, those are, I can't do that. But I can do
lists. I do it for like Zen purposes. It like chills me out.
I have a stamp now. My sister got them from Christmas. And so I have it says important with like 4 stars. It's wonderful. All right.
Nice.
So,
I love that you brought that up. So I'm just going to add some of my notebook recommendations if we're talking bullet journaling, which I didn't think we would talk about today. The Lectern is a really popular one for bullet journaling, but it has – I'm a like big paper nerd, so the paper's too thin for me. It's 70 grams, whatever weight. And then the Rhodia is the one that I use. The Rhodia web notebook, it's a little thicker. It's 80. And I just got this notebook. I haven't used it yet. It's like pristine. I cannot wait to use it next year. It's called the Nuna.
Wow, that's great for you.
N-A. Yeah, right? And the paperweight is 120 grams. And it has a smaller dot grid in blue. It's smaller than your average dot grid, like by a tiny bit. I think like half a centimeter. It's a really nice notebook. So if you're looking for notebooks, check out those also. Or if you want a wide one, check out the Pano book that Chris mentioned.
It's very nice. It's the first time I've bought a really nice notebook in my life. I'm like, wow, this feels great to like hold it in my hand. So
yeah. You keep them forever too. Like I'm currently at my parents' house for the holidays, which is why I don't have my ukulele. And at this house, it's just full of notebooks and old things from my life. And it's just like a blur of memories. It's really cute.
Yeah.
So keep things written down. Okay, next. Next app. Should I go tech or should I go non-tech for the next one?
Up to you.
Let's go tech.
Let's go tech.
All right. So one thing that I really like this year that I got to use at work is called GoCD. It's basically a continuous deployment pipeline, and it has a lot of plug-in features that you can see. So when you deploy something, you get a visual of your deployment and all the other deployments in the pipeline. There are certain steps that will pause at that you can then manually go and like have run if you want that in certain parts of your deployment pipeline. You can create artifacts at certain parts, which is great for if you're doing like visual regression testing. So really, GoCD is awesome. It hooks into Git, and I really enjoyed like using it. I think the UI could be improved. I know the last thing I talked about was like, oh, the UI is so good. UI is not great, but the functionality is great. So I really like GoCD.
Cool. I was surprised to hear you talk about continuous delivery. So, you know, we're all surprised.
We're full of surprises.
I'm also a little bit sick, as you may have noticed by my coughs. And so apologies for that. Okay. So my next one, we used to talk about this all the time on our show, but I've been consuming a ton of egghead.io courses this year. And they've drastically improved their UI over the last year. They didn't used to have auto-playing videos, which kind of sucked if you were going to plow through a bunch of videos. They've rolled out so many new courses, and a couple of them were really useful for me. I'm going to shout out Ken Dodds again. I've been like stalking this guy on the internet, more or less, for everything he does. But he released two React courses. One is a Learn React Beginners, and one is Advanced React Component Patterns. And I think both of them should be consumed by anyone doing React stuff. I learned things that I wasn't aware of, or you know, I've done React for like 2 years now, and there's still like small things you kind of pick up. And the advanced one was amazing because it went to a whole bunch of patterns that you know, I hadn't used before. And so it was kind of spun off of his work with Downshift, which I mentioned in the beginning, where he, you know, shifted a bunch of patterns around. And it's just really great if you're building React applications to kind of look at and learn these reusable paradigms. And so if you are a React person, or if you're anybody, egghead.io has a ton of great courses versus just the 5-minute videos. And Kent Dawes in particular has two great React courses. So
I'm going to have to jump on that and watch it, because I'm in that stage where I'm relearning React and really need to buckle in. So I watched Wes's course, which is Wes's course is really good, Wes Boss. But I'm excited to see what else there is out there.
Yeah. And these are only like about an hour and 15 minutes each. So you can plow through them pretty quickly. He kind of blasts through them. So if you're not familiar with React, you may have to watch it twice, right? Still really good. Kent's a great teacher, so highly recommend.
Cool. I will check that out, and yeah, I will let you know how it is, because I know that you're a massive egghead advocate.
I am a huge egghead advocate. I've learned so much from eggheads. So, all right.
Okay, my next thing is non-techie, but it is techie. It's an app, an iPhone application. I don't know if there's an Android equivalent, but it's called Bubble Level. Okay?
Is it a video
game?
I just
discovered this. It's not. So I have been doing a lot of house renovations in my apartment in the past month, and Bubble Level is a level, like a physical level. A leveler. Oh. Yeah, on your app. It's really useful. So, like, I didn't have to buy a level when I was making shelves, and it was really accurate. I measured it before and after. But even better than that is all of these other features. They have a surface level for, like, getting something like all the degrees. It uses, like, the accelerometer on your phone, which is pretty darn accurate. There's a gyroscope. There's a plumb line. I don't know what that is. Apparently, there's a metal detector, but I don't know if I believe this actually works. My favorite thing, though, is the AR ruler. So this is this augmented reality ruler where you can focus on any one thing and then compare it to anything else, and it measures it based on your depth perception from that item. So I could be across the room.
Does it lay it over in your camera so you can see it?
Yes.
Like, in real time? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly. What? It's really cool. So I can measure, like, the length of this book. I hit one target. I hit the other target, and it tells me how large of a distance that is. I found it to be, like, pretty accurate, especially if you have, like, square objects or, like, things that are easier to measure. And, yeah, it's just really cool. Like, the visual, like, gives you a little picture of it. So,
very
bubble
cool.
Level.
I almost bought an electric leveler, which does a lot of that, but it costs, like, $100. So I'll have to see if there's an Android version for
that. You don't need it. Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I also was about to buy a leveler, and then the person I was with when I was shopping was like, you know, your phone has that, Yuna. And I was like, what?
Get
and this
dummy.
Thing is really cool app.
Cool. I have one last non-tech thing. And it's, so I've gotten into cooking a lot recently. And if you haven't heard of sous vide cooking, it's fantastic. Essentially, it's you take a pot of water and you put an immersion thing into it, and it circles the water at a specific temperature, and then you drop your food in basically plastic bags, and you sit, so let it sit there for a bit, and then it heats up to that specific temperature. It's like high tech cooking. It's wonderful. I got something called Chef Joule, and it's really cool, really tiny sous vide machine with an amazing application. So you can just go in, and it has a bunch of recipes for you to choose from and temperatures. And if you ever want to cook something fancy and do almost no effort, sous vide cooking is kind of the way to do it. You can make steak perfectly without my voice is going. It's how strongly I feel about this. you can make food perfectly with almost no effort, and the application is amazing. It's kind of this weird, like, technologifying of the kitchen. Not weird, but it's kind of cool because I love tech gadgets of all kinds. And sous vide is kind of my latest kitchen tech gadget. So it's more of a lifestyle thing, but it's good for you. So there's a ton of things. If you want to find a bunch more of those, the wire cutter, my other favorite website on the internet, has a bunch of better recommendations for sous vide machines. So, yeah. That's my last non-tech
Chris
one.
Is very into cooking and baking, and I'm constantly jealous of, like, these dishes that he's creating and just sharing on social media.
My social media is literally just, so, I show photos of my food and photos of my cat. It's like, ah, yeah. Yes, I am a hermit.
And there's
by
also
the way.
Always cats in the feed, like, when we do our recordings, just, like, roaming around. So, that's great.
I'm not a crazy cat person. Just want to clarify this. I just have two cats. They're adorable.
Okay.
Okay. And, okay. I just want. Okay. All right. All right. Let's move on.
They are cute. They are cute cats. All right. So I have one more thing, and it's kind of a mix of things. So Chris and I started this new series this year called Cubs, which is Chris and Una Build Stuff, where we basically just pick some technologies that we haven't had any experience with and build something out of it. Usually we have like a week. I don't know. Depends on the week that we record. We've done the Preact CLI, we've done Electron. What else did we do? We did one more. Slack apps, Slackbots.
Slackbots.
Yeah. And this has been like one of my favorite things to start towards the end of the year because I like all of these different applications and technologies and frameworks. I've really enjoyed working with Preact CLI and I've really enjoyed working with Electron. And like this whole Cub series has been a really great way to do that and to just kind of build and play. So instead of listing them all individually, like just having an excuse to try out new tech has been like one of my favorite things for 2017. So watch out for more in 2018.
And my final one is one something I've talked about so many times, and it's prettier. The one-stop shop.
That was on my list
too. The one-stop shop for all JavaScript styling. It is like the thing that's changed my workflow the most. I've removed all ESLint styling rules. It just auto formats. I have VS Code prettier on save, and so I mash save button like every 5 seconds anyways, and so my code is always perfectly styled. And you know, I have prettier and ESLint both working at the same time, and I have it I have VS Code prettier on save and ESLint fix on save. And so whenever I make stupid mistakes, I just hit save, and I don't have to go and fix it. It's such a lazy way of coding now. I'm like, oh, I won't add a bracket there. ESLint will do it for me, or Prettier will do it for me, and I'll just keep going. But
well, why do yourself what a computer can do?
Exactly, right? I'm just optimizing my workflow. But it's such a game changer when like these things are just done for you. It makes coding really relaxing in some ways. Like, oh, it's like sometimes like, oh, you know, I wish I could put a arrow function there instead, and but I have to go back and reformat some things, and then there's like some brackets that are out of place now, and that sucks. But now Prettier and ESLint just fix it all for you. So that's my last and second favorite after CSS Grid tech tool.
So for the year. I also had that on my list because I really like Prettier. I remember we had an episode earlier this year where I was like, I don't know about that. I don't like how it auto-changes things for me. It's not great for learning. And then I tried it, and I had the next episode start with, I take it all back.
It's so
it's
nice.
It's magical. I briefly want to mention a plugin for VS Code that I just installed yesterday or 2 days ago, and it's so good. A bracket pair colorizer.
Oh, yeah.
It's so simple, and it's so effective. It just changes all the bracket pair colors so you can see which ones visually correspond. You don't have to hover over them. You don't have to have it clicked and activated. It just has it shown. It's so good. Bracket pair colorizer is a game changer, like Prettier, like CSS Grid, like a lot of the technologies that we brought up today. 2017 has been a pretty solid year for tech. Yeah, not for other things.
Not for the world, but for tech,
not
yes.
Not for the world. Here's to hoping 2018 is better. Thank you for listening. I do want to shout out to one of our Patreon supporters, Gina Ann, who donated on our Patreon account. You can still support us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/toolsday. TOOLSDAY. Also, big shout out to Webflow, who's continued to support us for a couple of months now. We really, really appreciate your support. Thank you to Webflow for the continuous support. We appreciate that. And thank you to you all for tuning in and listening to us ramble about all the things that we love and all the things that we're learning. So that's all we got for this year, and we'll catch you next year as a part of the Spec FM network. Bye, y'all.